Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to Book Lights. I'm so excited about today's show. And before we get started, I got some messages from readers recently, and they're like, introduce yourself. So I never remember. But I'm Lisa Kessler, and I write paranormal romances. Got my start writing horror short stories, and that is how I met our guest today, Ray Garten, who is just fabulous. And if you haven't met Ray, I'm going to go ahead and read his bio for you. Since he was 8 years old, all Ray wanted was to be a writer. And since 1984, he's been fortunate enough to spend his writing his life writing full-time. I really can read. He's written over 60 books, novels, and novellas in the horror and suspense genres, collections of short stories, movie novelizations, and TV tie-ins, with more in the works. In 2006, he was presented with the World Horror Grandmaster Award. I did put up his website, as well as he's on Facebook and Twitter too. Definitely follow him, because on Facebook, every once in a while, he will post cat pictures that will knock you off your chair. They're so funny. So without any further ado, Ray, are you there?
Hi, Lisa. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Yay. I'm so glad you could come on today. I forgot to mention in the beginning that before I ever got my first book published, Ray was one of the first writers who I met, and I think at Book Expo, right?
Yeah, it was DEA in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that was so fun, but I was so encouraged, and you have so many great stories to tell, and you have a new book that's never been an e-book before that's out, right? The Folks?
That's true, yes. The Folks was just released. It was released previously as a very limited edition by Cemetery Dance, and this is its first mass market edition. It's available for Kindle right now, and it'll be a paperback soon.
Yay. Is it available only on Kindle or everywhere?
Right now it's only on Kindle.
Okay.
We'll be expanding that.
Okay, good. Well, I always put everyone on the spot because I tell them, so for all the readers listening, why do they need to get the Folks this week?
This week, well, that's a good question, and I don't have an answer for it. I suppose you could buy it next week. It'll be the same book.
Well, what are they missing? What can you tell us about The Folks?
The Folks is about a young man who was horribly disfigured in a fire, and he is taken in by a family that is very wealthy and powerful. And it's a big family, but it is completely inbred and has been for generations. And he finds himself involved with this family who the father wants someone to take over for him when he passes, and he's chosen our protagonist, Andy Sayer. So Andy is involved with them in book one. That involvement changes in book two. There's no place like home. And I'm writing book three right now in the trilogy and hope to have that done by the end of the year.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. So do you watch American Horror Story? Did you see their Roanoke season?
Yes, I love
that. That had quite the inbred family on it. I was
yes,
like, oh.
It did.
This is getting a little too intense for me.
Yeah, that's an old tradition in horror. There's a subgenre of inbred families. They usually end up being cannibals as well. But my family isn't, because I've never understood why I've never understood the connection. There's just because they're inbred doesn't mean they eat people.
Right. But maybe it's the word inbred. They feel like since you're breeding with your own, you must eat your own. I don't know, but
you pass the line, so you might as well just throw
that's
everything.
Right. You might as well
wind.
Just go all the way.
Yeah.
well, it sounds fabulous. So what are you working on right now?
I'm working on The Folks Three, and I'm also working on a novel called Monster Show, which is a salute to... I started out... my interest in horror began with Creature Features every Saturday night, hosted by Bob Wilkins from San Francisco. And this book is sort of an affectionate nod to those horror movie hosts who were so popular back then. And it turns out that all of those shows were part of a sinister government experiment. And that's all I'll say.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds fabulous. One of my favorite 80s horror movies was Fright Night. And it had Peter Vincent, who was the Monster Show host.
He's a good example of that. They were everywhere back then. And now I guess they're kind of making a comeback now, which is nice, but they just don't have the popularity. I mean, they were on every local channel had a late night horror host, and I miss those days.
I feel like we were more innocent then. Now our world is so full of horror that you're like, I don't know. Why should I be scared of sharks and a tornado?
The horror genre is facing more competition than ever before.
Yes, from real life.
So
I was very curious before you agreed to come on. You have written so many books and things, but is there one favorite scare that you've ever written that you just smile every time you remember that scary book?
Yes, there is a scene in The Loveliest Dead where a little boy is in bed and it's dark in the room in the middle of the night, and he hears a noise and he sits up and he sees someone rising up out of the floor. And that scene has always stuck with me, the image of a person just rising up out of a solid floor gives me the creeps.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's every kid's worst nightmare, right?
Yeah.
You tell yourself under the covers, there's nothing there, and then you look and there's somebody there.
It's under the floor is where it is.
Yeah, yikes. So I haven't read The Loveliest Dead. Is that one out? Can I get it?
Yes, that's a ghost story. In fact, I have a couple of characters in there loosely based on or inspired by Ed and Lorraine Warren, who I worked with on a book, and I had a chance to crystallize my experience with them in the novel The Loveliest Dead.
Oh, fun. Was he a medium or what? Who was he?
Ed and Lorraine were ghost hunters who they were marginally involved in the Amityville case, and I wrote a book for them called In a Dark Place, which was about a story that later became The Haunting in Connecticut, about a family that moves into a former funeral home, which they claim was infested with demons.
Wow.
But the whole thing was a fraud. They were a couple of con artists, Ed and Lorraine.
Oh.
Now they're making movies about them, making them out to be people that they aren't. Yeah. The Conjuring, Haunting in Connecticut, and I think those are the two so far. But since there was a story revealed about that was a very ugly story about the Warrens that may get in the way of any more of those movies being produced. It turns out Ed Warren had an underage girl living with him as his lover and with his wife's full knowledge.
Oh, no.
Yeah, for years. Very strange family.
See, real life horror.
Yeah.
It makes it hard for us to dream up something scarier.
It does. We've got a lot to overcome.
That's right. So did you go see The Conjuring? Was it really Hollywoodized? You didn't see it?
I avoid anything that has Ed and Lorraine Warren involved because I just, they left such a bad taste in my mouth, and they were such malignant con artists. They really took advantage of people in need who needed help, not the kind. Yeah.
Right. So in The Loveliest Dead, are they con artists or is the ghost real?
Oh, yeah. yeah, they're pretty much like they were in real life.
Oh, well. So
what have you been reading lately?
I have been reading a lot of Patricia Briggs. I like her. She has Native American werewolves,
and she
mixes them with Fae. So it is a really bizarre, interesting combo, and I love it. So, Patricia Briggs. I think she lives up in Seattle area, but she. I love her Mercy Thompson series, and then it's like a spinoff called Alpha and Omega. And Alpha and Omega is much more Native American. The other series leans more toward Fae and Welsh. But, oh, my gosh, it's just a really rich world, and it's interesting combo of mythologies.
That sounds good.
So that's been really fun. And also, Kelly Armstrong has a series called the Canesville series, which is my favorite kind of story because it's based in this fictional town outside of Chicago, but it's a very bizarre town. Like, there are gargoyles everywhere and strange things happen there, and people don't go certain places and they don't know why. And so it's very interesting. And now I'm like on book four, and it's obvious a lot of it has to do with fae creatures who were changelings and founded the town. But anyway, it's really cool. But what about you? What are you reading?
I have been reading John F.D. Taft lately, and he is I'm crazy about his work. He's just incredible. His short stories, I haven't read any long pieces by him yet, I mean any novels, but his short stuff and his novellas are just amazing. And I can't even remember the name of the collection that I'm reading, which is very annoying. But,
I'm like that, though. I read so much, and then it's like my brain just dumps the info after I'm done.
Yeah,
so sometimes it is hard to remember.
It's called Little Deaths.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And his work, his writing, I think he's going to be around for a long time. And I've also been reading some Raymond Chandler, and let's see, I was reading The Long Goodbye. And I've gotten back into horror. I sort of drifted away from the genre for a while, but I've been reading a lot of it lately. And boy, we've got some great talent in this genre. I'm a big fan of Ed Kurtz.
Mm-hmm.
L.L. Soars, I recently read a book of his called Buried in Blue Clay, which was hilarious. It's very funny and creepy and a lot of fun. Aaron Kemper is another writer I like whose short stories are fantastic. Monica O'Rourke is another one.
Yes, I've read Monica before. She is.
Yeah, if you like extreme horror, she will mess you up.
Yes, she will. Read it during the day.
Yes. Oh, and Michael Schutz. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Oh,
Schutz,
I haven't.
Or Schutz. He wrote a novel called Edging, which is excellent, about a drug that does some very strange things to people.
Oh, nice. I'll have to look that one up. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, he's really good.
One of my favorite funny horrors that everyone should read is Bubba Hotep.
Oh, yes.
And you should read the novella first and then see the movie with Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
It's such a creative way for how Elvis Presley actually went out saving us from mummies.
Yeah, I can safely recommend anything Joe Lansdale writes. His stuff is wonderful.
Yes, and usually funny and scary. I can't think of any I've read that were just scary. So if you like comedy and horror mixed together, he's a good bet.
Yeah, and he also writes some great crime fiction, the Happen Leonard series, which is now a TV series. That's very good.
I haven't heard of that. What?
Happen Leonard. It's on, I think, the Sundance Channel. And
well, you know, I think I think I've seen the show. The one of the guys was from The Following, right? He was the bad guy on The Following? I think so.
I don't know. I didn't see The Following.
Oh, you should watch The Following. It's
really?
Very, very unsettling. The Following has Kevin Bacon in it, and it
was a
really intense show. But the bad guy, I think, is on Happen Leonard now, but he was an English professor who studied Poe, and he was also a serial killer.
Oh.
And so, yeah, but The Following is all about he ended up being the leader of a cult because he wrote a novel. And so, anyway, it's a great show, but it is very intense.
I'll have to check that out, see if I can find
it
or something.
The Following, I think it's on Netflix, all the episodes.
Is it?
Because I binge-watched the whole series. There's, I think, 4 seasons or 5 seasons, but wow, it was really good.
We'll have to give it a look.
Yeah.
Have you read Adam Neville?
No, I have not.
Oh, his stuff is fantastic. I found him through a movie. There was a movie made of his book, The Ritual. And that movie, I had to be peeled off the ceiling after it was over. it was a terrifying.
Well, now I have to look
movie.
For it.
And then I read his novel Last Days, which is fantastic.
Is that a vampire book?
No, it's about a religious cult. And it's. The kind of stuff that stays with you, you know, it really sticks to you.
Mm-hmm. Which is sometimes good and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, right.
If you finish the book at night, it's not so good.
Yeah.
To this day, I have still never seen the movie Pet Sematary because I read that book at night, and I remember the ending when the wife comes back, and I was so terrified. I'm up watching Disney movies.
Unsettled. I love that book, and the movie is very good. It's
is it good?
Yeah, it is. Maybe a little too good.
Right. Yeah. See, I'm just chicken. And that was one of those that a lot of times for the readers who might be listening who maybe have never tried horror, usually there's some kind of wrap-up. You find out, you know, what's happening. You figure out the secret. The good guys win, you know, something. But every once in a while, there's a book where it just ends scary and it's the end. And you sit there going, no. And Pet Sematary was one of those because it was late when I was finishing it, but I thought if I don't finish this, I won't be able to sleep. And then I felt like I'm never going to sleep again.
Yeah, that was really a horrifying novel. And if I remember correctly, Stephen King got a barrage of hate mail. I'm thinking of Cujo. That was for Cujo. Messing with the family pet.
Right. Yeah, he did the unthinkable messing with the family pet. People don't care if you kill people in books, but if you kill a pet, they're done with you.
Yep. You will never hear the end of it.
That's right. Well, I want to mention, because one of my favorites of yours is your Ravenous book with the Ray, if you haven't read Ravenous, you have to go get it. It's in ebook now. But you wrote the most interesting version of werewolves that I've ever read, and I read a lot of werewolves. And I just was like, wow. It was fantastic. And I went to look online before the show today to be sure it was an ebook, and I noticed that there is a paperback version of Ravenous on sale on Amazon right now for only $887. So if you run right out and buy that, you know, maybe Ray will sign it for you.
Somebody's a little deluded if they think they're going to get that for...
Right? 800? I was impressed.
Yeah.
But there were two books,
like
Ravenous
book.
And... Yeah, I love it. And Bestial. Was there ever going to be more or just those two?
Yeah, my plan is to follow that up with a novel that pits the werewolves from Ravenous and Bestial with the vampires from Live Girls and Nightlife. And that would include the two investigators who were in both the sequel to Live Girls and the sequel to Ravenous. And so, I need to do that, because ever since I've mentioned it, now people are hounding me.
Yeah.
I'm going to add me to
the hounding list. That sounds fabulous. And Live Girls, too. If you've never read Live Girls, it is also a very interesting take on a vampire. So, you know, if you think you've read every vampire and werewolf book, you have not. So go and grab them, because, wow. But Ravenous, it was such an interesting take on werewolves, and also the way that it spread, I just thought, oh, my gosh, there's no way. There's no way for the good guys to win. They're so outnumbered. It was really a great book. And I like the second one, too, but I'm excited about the vampires against the werewolves. Oh, my God.
Well, it's important to remind people that there's a sequel, because the first one ends rather abruptly and on a bad note.
Right.
And I did that intentionally so that the sequel could pick up right where that one left off. But, boy, I got quite a response from that. There were people who weren't too happy about that ending.
Yes, it was pretty, oh, my gosh. But yeah, I liked the second book as well. But at least you know you got a reaction from people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not the one you were intending, but.
Oh, no, that's usually the one I intend. I enjoy making characters who the readers just love, and making mm-hmm. them love those characters, and then killing them.
you're George R. R. Martin's stepbrother.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I've always liked Martin's philosophy about that.
Yeah, anyone could go at any time.
Yep. Nobody's safe.
Yeah, Josh Whedon kind of has
that
philosophy too.
Yeah, I think that makes reading much more fun when you know that even a protagonist could be knocked off any time.
Surprise! Is there a monster that you haven't written about yet that you want to?
No, I seem to be drifting away from monsters and getting more into paranoia. And we're getting very paranoid, and we're fascinated with conspiracy theories, I mean, as a culture. And that seems to be the direction I'm taking. I'm working on a collection called Illuminati Circus that is just stories about the Illuminati legend, the conspiracy theories that surround that word. And I have no idea when that'll be. It'll be done when it's done. But I have always found that sort of thing fascinating. But I've never inhaled, you know. I follow.
You watch
them
from a distance.
Right. Because
Right. Is Illuminati Circus going to be a collection of short stories or a novel?
Yeah, short stories.
Okay. So you could put all of the conspiracy theories in one book.
Yep.
Every time I see chemtrails up in the sky, I can't help it. I look at whoever I'm with and said, well, now we got to fight.
Yeah. You know, I've been seeing those in the sky my whole life. And now people mm-hmm. suddenly notice them and they think the government is poisoning us.
Exactly. Exactly. But my mom moved up to Oakhurst, which is right outside of Yosemite, and there is a group who they staple onto, you know, telephone poles these little signs warning you about chemtrails and what they do and that they're from the government. And she's like, oh, my gosh, people really believe that.
Yeah, we've got a guy here in Shasta County named Dane Wigington that's his whole thing. That's all he talks about is chemtrails, and we're all being poisoned by the government. And it's such a bleak worldview. I don't know how the people who subscribe to it get through life.
Right.
Because it's just full of crushing paranoia and fatalism, and it's a horrible way to see the world.
Right. Right, which is funny coming from someone who enjoys writing horror, but
yeah.
It's true. I think what makes things scary is because you still have hope. If you don't have hope, then what is there to be scared of? Everything's going to kill you.
Then, yeah, and that's the way things look in those, I go to these websites that specialize in nothing but fear-mongering and paranoia, and wow, there are some people who, they must never leave their house.
No, they wear their foil hats and their and their bubble wrap suits. And
Yeah,
so you're going more into psychological horror and less monsters now.
Yeah, I think so, because monsters just don't seem to cut it these days. We're facing a lot worse than monsters.
Right. Now we innocently wish there were monsters.
Yes. So we could call in the army and have them blow them up.
Right, right.
But it's just
not
that
easy. Big ape.
Yeah.
There's a big ape on my lawn. Come and get it. Yeah, sadly, there are real things in the world that are pretty scary. And,
That's what bothers me. There are so many real things, and yet people are spending all their time being afraid about stuff that is total BS.
Right.
There's a variety of real terrors out there that we should be concerned with, but no, we're concerned about the reptilian aliens who secretly run the world.
Right, right, who are really in the rich families. another thing that's been interesting is for horror and suspense and thrillers is our technology, things like cell phones and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Writing it much harder because people can find you. And and so it's so funny. I had my husband read an old Dean Koontz book that was one of my favorites called The Door to December, about sensory deprivation and how powerful your brain can get if you have no other input, kind of thing. It's a great book. But I had him read it, and it was written, either late 80s, early 90s, and he comes in after a few chapters, and he goes, I am really having a hard time staying in the book because the detective is looking for a payphone to call. I thought, oh, my God, our world has changed so much. But, it makes it harder.
They have, and my work tends to be populated by people who hate cell phones and don't carry them.
Right, yeah, because you have to get rid of it somehow, or you have to have them break it, or they have to drop it in water or something to get rid of that cell phone, because we have all the power at our fingertips now, and so to write a scary story, it gets tricky.
Yeah, it does, and I don't carry a cell phone. I hate them. So writing characters that way it comes naturally to me, but it becomes hard to believe after a while, so many people don't like cell phones.
Yeah,
so
I can't imagine not having mine. I saw an editor that I follow on Twitter had posted that she for the first 35 years of her life, there was no such thing as a cell phone, and today she left without hers, and she had to go home and get it. How did we live?
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Well, our half an hour is sadly coming to an end.
Oh,
I can't believe
that
it.
Was fast.
I know, right? But before we go, do you have a newsletter, or how can people keep in touch with you?
You go to my Facebook page. I have two Facebook pages. I have my fan page and my personal page. You can follow me on both of those, and any updates are found there. I also have a website, raygartenonline.com, and I'm on Twitter. No newsletter yet. I've been told I should do that, but my
should.
Life is so boring. I just can't imagine having to come up with a.
Well, I know. I would subscribe if there was a newsletter. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and everyone.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Everybody go grab the folks, and I am going to start pestering you about the Ravenous versus Live Girls book. I can't wait.
Okay. You take
thanks
care,
for coming
Lisa.
On, Ray.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.